And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at those times with the radio broadcast, and then there's a podcast that the radio program comes from, and it's usually longer than the radio broadcast. So you'll need to go to the locations like the radio show's page of richarddugan.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, and those are just five of the many locations we're hoping to expand to and increase the audience size as well and inform more people about what we're doing here on Tell Me Your Story. We also encourage you to go to our guest website. We'll be giving you that in just a moment. And if you'd like to support this broadcast, we are open to that. We have a PayPal account. We are not nonprofit. Don't want to get in trouble with the IRS. So it's not tax deductible. Don't do that. But if you like what we're doing, we're certainly grateful for any support you can give us. Today we have a special guest in studio as we not only end a year but begin a year, and she had a program and still actually does on this radio station. We have Pam Ousley, intuitive.
Okay.
Author.
Okay. Let's say that.
You get around a lot too. You
hey, watch it.
No. I was going to say that you're featured. You know, in all the various different medias, online, on TV, around the world, you travel, mm-hmm. you hold workshops and seminars, and you're writing books. We're going to talk about one of those that I guess it's your latest work, if I'm not mistaken. Infinite You, A Journey to Your Greater Self and Beyond.
Correct.
And you've been... Was there a can you look back and find the starting point for all of this, or was it when you came into this world as a child?
Did I do that? No. Well, my whole life has been this journey, but a big shifting point, a big turning point, if you want, was in 84 when I went to, I was running concert facilities and theaters and working with big celebrities and doing promotions and mm-hmm. things like that. Anyway, I went to hear a shaman or a psychic from London, from England, speak here in Santa Barbara. I walked into the room and he said, "You up here, you know how to do this psychic work."
Ooh.
And I went, "Excuse me? What? What are you? It's like, I just came here to listen to you speak, right?" Anyway, he pulled me out in front of the group that night and said, "I want you to tell people what you see about them." And I was shocked to see that I actually knew things about people I'd never seen before. I knew a woman over to my right was pregnant because for the first time in my life, I saw the spirit of a little girl standing next to her. So I knew she was pregnant. She Wow. didn't even know she was pregnant. So she went to the doctor and found out she was pregnant. She ended up having a little girl. So that was the beginning of my, what? What do you mean I can do this? And I started doing... expanded consciousness. You can call it psychic, clairvoyant, intuitive, whatever word people want to put to it. I say it's expanded consciousness because I believe we all have it. So mm-hmm. that was a turning point. That started my journey into this direction.
Yeah. You are and have been, as long as I have known you, which is going on, I think, 13 years.
and I'm only 26.
since you was a teenager. You've always been, from my perspective, you've always been fairly optimistic, or at least upbeat, from the standpoint that, yes, stuff happens in the world and in our lives, but it was kind of explained to me this way when talking, for example, about Mercury in retrograde, and every time you hear that phrase, people just freak out. Oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end, or my life, or this or that or the other. Mm-hmm. And I remember what I was shared with by someone who said, it isn't bad news. It's Mercury in retrograde, and then this is just the example, is a time to become more observant of what's going on around you, not to freak out. and I think that that's kind of the attitude that you take and what you share with people in readings when you were doing your radio program and taking phone calls literally from around the world. Is it didn't matter what you saw, there was always, I suppose you could say an upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I see is, you know, this gal isn't right for you and it's not going to last beyond blah, blah, blah. You may want to really take a look at that kind of thing. But then that opens up other doors.
Mm-hmm. Or you have free will. I always encourage people. I am an optimist. I am positive. I don't know much about astrology. So, excuse me, when someone says Mercury's retrograde, it's like, okay, just time to be quiet and go inside and not try to push things.
Yeah.
My understanding. Again, I don't know astrology.
Sure.
But I believe in free will. And so if I see somebody headed in a direction that I know is not going to lead, you know, they're headed for a divorce or they're headed for a health issue or they're headed for losing their job. It's like, okay, that's the path you're on right now. What do you want to shift that? Do you want to do something about it? I mean, we've saved marriages by going, and people knew that, you know, it's like, look, your marriage is in trouble here. You know, if you keep going this direction, but if you do this and this and this and open this up and not project your own issues and whatever, and we've saved marriages that way. So I believe in free will. I like to look for, where are you headed right now based on your current beliefs, your issues, your attitude, your thoughts, your actions? And if you shift your beliefs, if you shift your thoughts, that you can change your life to the better. And so I'm always looking for, how do we make it awesome?
You know, and the way I describe that same thing, I talk about how we want to shift from the survival mode to a new word I've coined. To thrival mode.
There you go. I like that.
And that we never know. Let's say we're on our path. We never know 100% for certain what's down that path. My wife and I, we have been wanting to, for example, as I was sharing with you before we started, we've been wanting for several years to get a truck, but never really thought about how that was going to come about because you're adding an expense, you're adding another payment to your bills and so forth and all of these types of things. And the next thing I know, I'm also dealing with releasing my dog, who I did on the 12th of October of 2018, set her free. And as soon as we did that, and I had set up a list of priorities, and she was at the top of that list, that, you know, we've been caring for her for 14 months, it's time to let her go. To set her free so that she can be more helpful, you know, on the other, from the other side. And as soon as we did that, just it's like unbelievable what's been happening in the last couple of months, you know. And now all of a sudden I find myself in a traffic accident which totaled the vehicle, which generated the resources to be able to get what? A truck.
And there are less dramatic ways to create what you want, by the way.
That is true. Like, that is true.
That's one way to do
it. But the plus was, of course, that nobody was injured, okay, which was a big plus. And yes, there are certainly many different ways of doing this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that experience in and of itself, just set that aside, was one where at the moment that it happened, you know, you're shaken up. You know, it rattles you a little bit, regardless of how minor or major it is. But then I'm standing there and I'm thinking, okay, within a minute or two, I'm thinking, okay, I need to start to do some of the practical things here. I need to make some phone calls. I need to let my wife know that, hey, how you doing? By the way, everybody's okay. And I was in a car accident. I needed to call the police. I needed to call this and start the ball rolling and try to resolve this as quickly as possible. And within literally a month, it really was.
There was your new truck.
Yeah. when we moved to Santa Barbara, it was the same kind of thing where I lost my job due to the sale of the station and they weren't hiring, keeping the same people. She quit her job because of a hostile work environment. We were both unemployed. We probably could have found work in Phoenix, but we made the decision to move. And the next thing you know, boom, here we are. And it's 13 years later. And, you know, it's been great. It's been so you just again, you I've always felt, and I'd like your input on this. You put it out there and then you almost it's almost like a helium balloon. You actually need to let go of the string and just let it go and don't think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. If you've put it out there, the universe knows.
Right. Right. Well, my latest thing is, I'm sure you know who Deepak Chopra is.
Yes.
I'm going to borrow from his example because this is where I'm going right now. I've learned from studying lots of metaphysics and quantum physics. I love quantum physics and spiritual and metaphysics, whatever. So I've really been applying it lately. So he basically shares that there's five different levels of consciousness of how you manifest in this world. So at level one, and I'm going to use his example, he said, let's say you desire, sorry, I apologize for that.
It's all right.
You use the example of, let's say you desire to have ice cream. At level one thinking, which is where most of us live, and it's how we've been raised to believe reality is, level one, you want ice cream, you got to go interview for a job, then you get the job, then you work really hard, and then you finally get a paycheck, then you get to cash in your paycheck, you get to drive to the ice cream store, give them your hard-earned money, and then you get some ice cream. That's a lot of action, a lot of effort, a lot of work. That's level one thinking. And we've been trained to believe that's reality. You got to do that, you know. Newtonian physics, cause and effect. But it's the hard work. You got to work hard, right?
Yeah,
Physical reality, you got to move things, push things, take action. Level two, which I've been experiencing a lot, and I could share story after story of how this has happened. But level two, you have the desire for ice cream, and a friend comes by and goes, I was just in your neighborhood, and I was just at the ice cream store, and I bought some ice cream. Hey, do you want some with me? It's like, wow, that was good manifesting, you know, just somehow synchronicity, just, and you just experienced some level two, right? Where, well, I wanted a truck, and I didn't know it was going to show up that way, but, you know, the universe or
and
source.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and it provided. It's like it showed up in a way that you didn't have to figure out how you were going to do all that.
Yeah.
And that's been happening to me a lot. And level three is you have the desire for ice cream, and you go to your freezer and you open it up and go, oh my gosh, there's ice cream in here. I don't remember buying any ice cream, but there's the ice cream. I've been doing that one too, which makes levels two and three are so much fun. It's more synchronistic. It's more magical. But it's shifting your beliefs into believing that that's possible, that it you don't have to struggle and take action and work and manipulate and maneuver. And then level four is you have the desire for ice cream and you open up your hand and there it is. Now, that's very elevated spiritual master, teacher, Christ consciousness. I haven't accomplished that level yet. Level five is you have the desire for ice cream, and you realize that you and the ice cream are the same. It's all energy. It's all consciousness. And so that's level five. Most of us don't want that level because we want to taste the ice cream.
Yeah.
So I'm moving more into effortless and ease and going to levels two and three, and amazing things have been happening.
Yeah.
So in the spring last year, I had the desire to go to Maui. I was like, oh, I know I'm going in October and I've got a place to stay, but it's the spring. I don't want to wait till October to go to Maui. I want to go in the spring. I want to go now. I had no idea how that was going to happen. It's like, how am I going to afford that? Where am I going to stay? Who am I going to go? You know, I was tripping over all the details, right?
Yeah.
So I just went, well, you know what? I started listening to Hawaiian music and I started looking at pictures of Hawaii. And I did a session for a brand new client, someone up in Northern California I'd never met before, did the session. The very next day, he called me up and he said, I really enjoyed that session. I have a condo in Maui. Do you want to go use it? And I went, oh, I think I do. Effortless. All I did was show up and do my thing, and synchronicity showed up. I didn't have to get in a car accident. I didn't have to. It was like, it just showed up for me, and that is happening so much. It's almost daily now, and my manifestations are showing up faster. And that's what I'm excited about sharing with people, is just what you have to believe in or what you choose to believe in to be able to manifest at that level. But it is a lot of letting go of the balloon.
Yeah.
It's not holding on to it going, how do I figure this out? How do I manipulate it? How do I take action? How do I force it? How do I, you know, it's just, it's believing that the universe is much more synchronistic and easy, and it's amazing how things show up for you.
You know, it's interesting, too. The phrase that comes to mind is don't try to control the process. Become part of the process, which is basically going with the flow. Now, the thought I had I didn't need to get in a car accident. The thought I had also was, because of the fact that it was total due to the fact that the price of the parts to repair it were just going to be astronomical because it's an 11-year-old car, you know. And I don't know what the laws are about how long places have to keep, you know, parts for vehicles. But I thought, well, maybe there's somebody else out there who is in need of the same parts. It's kind of like an organ donor, all right? I have become an organ donor, okay? So that's I'm looking at it from that standpoint that I'm doing this. I'm a community service.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all connected.
Exactly.
It's all connected. It's all doing the good for other people.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here. One day I was thinking about this flash that I had where it was $800,000 that I'm thinking, you know, I could do a lot with that. I mean, I could accomplish a lot and still have savings and doing all these different things. And then I thought, you know, someone has always told me that you need to start feeling like you already have it. And so I just started thinking, it's already in there. It's already in there. And I thought, wow, this feels pretty good. And then I also reminded myself, but don't get attached to it, okay? Because remember, even the 800,000, it has to flow, you know? It's just like water. You leave water, you know, where it is, and it becomes stagnant, and it gets pretty yucky, and it's not good. So this all has to keep flowing. And I think that's what we, as humans, we get stuck in. Again, that's part of that lesson, or part of how we're trained. Hold on to it. You know, because you never know, you're going to have a rainy day and you're going to need it. And I've also heard, and I think maybe you've shared this with me too, if you're planning for a rainy day, you're going to have one.
It's good. We need the rain. No.
Well, that's true. We do need it. But obviously it's, and I like steps two and three.
And so much fun.
Obviously, two, certainly. It's funny, when you mentioned ice cream, I just flashed. We had ice cream last night for dessert, and she didn't completely empty the container, so I put it back in the freezer. And that I flashed, yeah, we have ice cream in the freezer. It's not much, maybe a spoonful, but
it's fun when you realize it. You know, it's all energy, it's thought. And when you say that, in order to manifest at those other levels, you become you realize, and this is quantum physics, by the way, that it's all energy and we're all connected.
Yeah,
it's already there. Yeah. There's no time and space. In quantum physics, time doesn't exist,
right.
Space doesn't exist. So that which you desire, you're already part of. It's already right here, connected with you. It's already in present time, present tense. Yeah. There's no space, so there's no separation.
Yeah.
And I know that that's challenging for people to understand sometimes, but when you really get that, things show up because it's like, well, I don't have to, you know, take a year to get that, or I got to go way down the store and get it. It's like it's already right here connected with me energetically, and it shows up so much more easily. It's mind-blowing. It's quantum physics. It's not the old thinking.
And Einstein actually sort of perpetuated that with his statement that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, i.e., you got to work for it. You got to work hard, make it. You got to push this way so it'll come back, and all of those kinds of things. I actually want to dive into this book, Infinite You, A Journey to Your Greater Self and Beyond. I was asking this question of people, usually at the end of the interview. I have another set of questions I'll be asking you at the end. But this one I was asking, and it kind of applies now. And you sort of answered it through the five levels that Deepak Chopra talks about of consciousness. How powerful are we, and is it as humans, or how powerful are we as whatever it is that is inhabiting these vehicles?
Mm-hmm. Souls. Well, that's the thing, is that's what I'm realizing. We're not just little ghosts trapped inside a body. We are infinite beings. We are souls with consciousness, and we're creators. We're creators. We're with just jumping to it because it's your audience, your show. I mean, we create a reality with our thoughts, our beliefs, and our emotions. We haven't been trained to believe that. We've been trained to believe we're victims, and you got to be careful, and you got to survive, and things can happen to you, and you don't have any say over it. You don't have any control over it. All you have control over is your reaction to it. Well, I'm noticing we're creating our own experience. We're creating our own reality, literally with consciousness, with energy, and even parallel universes. There's not one reality.
Yeah.
That's quantum physics. They talk about the multiverse. There's multiverses, universes out there. It's not just one. And we're creating them. It's like different radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
There's different frequencies.
Exactly.
So, yeah, when you really realize that we're these powerful, infinite beings that are creative, and we've been given the gift to create our own reality, oh my gosh, life becomes so interesting and so fun and so much more freedom. I've noticed that the more we realize things or discover things, like we discovered there were more than one continent, so then we could travel. We discovered that the world was round and we had more freedom. we discovered aerodynamics, and then we had the freedom to go fly. And now quantum physics is like mind-blowing what it's actually saying about reality and who we are. And to me, it creates way more expansive freedom. And that's my goal. I'm into joy and freedom.
Oh, I'm with you there. Yeah, and I have to tell you that this whole attitude of victimhood was really prominent in our last presidential election, just across the board. It was everybody else's fault that we were where we were. And I thought, well, where we are from what I'm seeing ain't that bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, you know.
I've
got a job I love to do. I love doing these interviews. I live in a place that's just spectacular. The views and the beach and the water, and I've always wanted to be. I don't understand this. And I thought that, I remember in the 80s, you flash back to the 80s, and we were going through that psychological phase, the self-help phase, where we were blaming other people, our parents especially, for where we were in our lives, why we had the problems we had. And then in the 90s, we started to shift, started to take a little more responsibility. You know, we weren't necessarily blaming all of that. We were maybe blaming ourselves. We were blaming, the word blaming, ourselves, not taking responsibility, but blaming, right? And as we progressed and I was going through these personal growth programs, I began to learn more and more about how we were responsible. There was no blame. It's you are where you are. For whatever reasons, you are where you are, and you can break those blockages and move on, and then the process again of creating, of being who we are.
And we're great storytellers.
Yeah.
We tell stories. We're creators. We're movie makers, yeah, even in our own lives. And we're storytellers. But unfortunately, sometimes we get attached to our stories and our dramas. Yeah. It's like, okay, if you're telling a story right now and it's like how awful life is, we're here to have experiences, to experience emotions and creating different experiences and having tastes and feel and emotion and, you know, whatever. It's like, so if you've created something, enjoy it. Like, really get the juice out of it until you're bored with it, or you consciously realize that you don't like that story anymore. Yeah. Then we have to learn how to let go of our stories.
Yeah. You know, when I was standing there by the car after the accident, I started to go through the process, you know, the mental process. And I also thought, you know, this is interesting. I'm watching his wife, girlfriend. I can't remember. She was on the phone, and she was just the epitome of calmness. It was wonderful. I mean, it was great to see, and it actually helped me to calm down a little bit more. Then I called my wife, and she also the epitome of calmness. Then the police arrived. This guy, and his name is Officer Darr, D-A-R-R. Again, the epitome of calmness. And he came in and he was just, it was great, you know, and he helped this gentleman. And at the end of the whole process, while the three of us or four of us were standing there, I walked up to the gentleman who was driving the other vehicle. I extended my hand and I said, hey, I'm just glad neither of us are hurt. Now let's go out and make it a better day than this, because I'm going to.
So you shifted your experience.
Exactly.
You chose, you were conscious, you chose, and all these people chose to create a different experience.
Yeah.
Because it could have been very negative and dramatic and angry and yelling, and you chose a different experience.
You know, if you are having to call customer service for whatever, and you go in with the attitude, I'm going to get mine, and you go with the anger and the frustration, you know, and you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, because they're not going to want to help you. And so you hang up and you calm down and you shift and you call back and you're nice and you're kind and you get somebody else. Hey, they may give you the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a basic level of changing your experience, of being a creator. That's a basic level of just your thoughts, shifting your thoughts, your attitude, your emotions, your perspective. It obviously affects your experience here. It's really dramatic when you realize that you're actually using consciousness to affect energy.
Yeah.
You can heal your body. You can create relationships. You can create abundance and prosperity. And I know people's like, no, you know, that you're blaming me for my circumstance. Like, no, it's not a blame. It's like what you say. It's owning power. It's owning creative power, so you don't stay in fear and victim. You know, because if people want to do that, it's totally okay. I don't take away anybody's experience. I understand that some people are going through very dramatic experiences, loss of homes through the fire. I've got a good friend who lost her home, and my sister lost a home in a fire here in California. Mm. So they can be very dramatic. You can have emotions attached to it. You can have feelings attached to it. And then, okay, now where do you go? Where do you create? What do you create with this now? I have compassion. I have sympathy. People have serious health issues. Yeah. I have compassion. And then we look at what, where, for people that are really want to know how they created it, we look at how you created it so you can shift how you created it into something else. Was there anger? Was there fear? Was there grief that was eating you up? To just take a look at it so you're in charge, so that you're in creative control of your own experiences, as opposed to there's so much fear out there of getting cancer. There's so much advertisement, so much fear about it that people are actually creating it. So it's like, okay, there's no blame. There's no judgment about it. This, what do you do to create not being in fear about it and being on top of it? How did it get created? Not victim. And what do you do about it? And that doesn't mean I don't have compassion for people that have serious illnesses. It's like, I just, for me, this is just me, Richard. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at, what am I creating in my life? What am I creating in my environment, my emotions, my feelings, my relationships, my abundance, my health? What am I creating with my current beliefs? And how do I shift that to create things that bring me joy and freedom and love? It expands my experience of love and compassion even.
Yeah.
And I don't try to change anyone else, but if somebody asks, I'll go, well, you can. This is how you create ice cream. You know, this is how you create a new truck without, and so mm-hmm. wait, you got in an accident to create a new truck. That's one way to do it. Okay, cool. There's other ways to do it.
Sure.
And next time you probably won't create it that way because you already did that one.
Did that one, it worked, but I'm going to try something different.
That's right.
Yeah. It's interesting to follow through. And I mean, you have, if I'm not mistaken, is it 5 books now?
Four. It's funny that you say that. I have 2 in the hopper. So. Yes, there's a 5th one and a 6th one, but there's 4 out published and out in the market.
You've got Life Colors, What the Color in Your Aura Reveals. We'll talk a little bit about that in our next segment as well. Love Colors, A New Approach to Love, Relationships, and Auras, and Make Your Dreams Come True, Simple Steps for Changing the Beliefs That Limit You, which immediately I flash on Greg Braden's The Healing Power of Belief when we talked about that. And of course, the latest one is Infinite You. It's a journey to your greater self and beyond. Pam Osley is my guest, and auracolors.com. Is that
that's right.
It's still valid and wonderful. And we're going to continue talking more here. We're going to talk a little bit, because I'd like to talk a little bit about the ability you have of seeing auras, and not necessarily get into a lot of specifics, but if that's something that other people can actually learn how to do, and what that could mean for them.
It's part of expanding consciousness. There's all kinds of abilities. Once you expand your consciousness, it's amazing what you can do that goes way beyond what we've been taught is real.
Okay. Tell me your stories here on the station that you're listening to. And I'm Richard Dugan. This is giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. And we'll be right back.
Tell me your stories.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Pam Osley. She has a website called auracolors.com. She has several books out and many in, as she says, the hopper. I'm still working on the same one I've been working on since 2001.
Good. I hope it's fun.
It is.
There's no time. You get to create when you want.
There it is. And I'm not, it's like I've got it in different stages, and I've done this and that and the other, and I've passed it on to other people to evaluate, and I even had my sister proofread it, and she sent it back to me, and I was curious as to the marks that she put on it, and I found out that what she was doing and what I were doing were absolutely grammatically just fine, so I didn't call her and say, what do you think you're doing? And one of these days, you see auras, which mm-hmm. are, because I have to say that the first thing that flashes in my mind is the Aurora Borealis, okay, mm-hmm. and the Northern Lights. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not quite like that, but you see.
Not quite that big.
Not that big, but you see these colors that you have been able to define as far as, shall we say, their meanings or their characteristics of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And a particular color is going to have those characteristics for anybody that you see with that color. But a lot of times it's not just one color. It's actually multiple colors.
What I see, first of all, it's an electromagnetic energy field that radiates off of people. And the way I see it, and other people have different experiences of this energy field. And by the way, even if people can't see it, we all feel it, Richard. Mm-hmm. That's why you can be around somebody for the first time and instantly feel drawn to them or like them, or you feel a chemistry with them, whatever. And other people, you don't even want to be 10 feet with it. It's like, yeah, no, I don't want us to. You're feeling their energy field. Mm-hmm. You're feeling the vibes that they're putting out. Whatever word you want to use, it's vibration. It's energy. So the way I see it is it's lots of different colored bands that radiate off of people. And the one or two bands that are the closest to the body are what reveal to me their personality, their life theme, what's going to make them happy in this lifetime, careers that are going to be fulfilling and they'll be drawn to, relationship styles and needs, potential health issues, how they are with money. Everything's revealed in those two colors. And yes, over the 34, 35 years of doing this now, and again, I'm only 26, so that I've discovered, well, first I met a woman who could see the auras and she would describe what that meant to her. And I went, oh my gosh, that's matching what I'm picking up psychically about people. So then I developed the ability to see and sense the aura also. And over the years, decades of doing this, I have realized that the different colors have a different attribute. There are different qualities, different characteristics, and it says a lot about the person. Now, I don't do this to limit people because we got some yellows listening, and yellows don't like being told what to do. So it's not about, trapping somebody in a box. It's just the opposite. It's helping them validate who they really are so they can live their real potential. When people find out about their aura colors, they go, oh, that's why I've always felt this way my whole life. That's why I feel drawn to do that in my lifetime. That's why I'm this way in relationship, whatever. It helps validate who they are, give them permission to be authentically who they are, and it helps us understand other people. Mm-hmm. So we don't run around going, how come you can't think or be more like me? What's wrong with you? It's like, oh, they have a different aura color and therefore a different personality.
But there's an aspect of it too that if I'm understanding correctly, that just because a person might have a particular set of aura colors doesn't mean that that's locked in, that they could actually, by changing their consciousness, change those colors if they really wanted to.
Okay, yeah. I would never tell somebody they can't do something. That's the worst thing you say to me. You tell me I can't do something, it's like, really? Okay, let's look at that now.
Let me show you how I can.
In my experience, the life colors typically don't change. It's what the soul has chosen to experience in this lifetime, who they've chose to be. Mm-hmm. Now, can they change that? Absolutely. The bands in the outer aura, that those change all the time, depending on what's going on with the person at a time. In the years that I've been doing this, I rarely see somebody changing their life colors, but I have seen that happen, especially if someone goes, you know what? I did what I originally came here to do. I accomplished it. I finished it. And now I'm ready to go to another life purpose, another activity, another way of being. And they shift. They completely, they radically change who they are and where they're headed. And yeah, a lot of times that's changing their aura colors too. It reflects, the aura colors don't rule you. And my beliefs, the same thing with astrology, numerology, iridology, palmistry, whatever you want to say, and not to argue with anyone that's in that profession, but my experience is those things reflect back what you're choosing or what you maybe chose before you came to this planet.
Yeah.
They don't rule you. You're not trapped by them. They reflect you.
If I was to ask you a bunch of questions about myself in that respect, it would be more to receive confirmation of something I already know.
It should. It should.
Yeah.
People that are connected, that are aware, if they're listening to their soul, listening to their intuition, listening to their higher self, the work that I do and all those aspects should confirm what you already sense and know inside. There are a lot of people that are not in touch with their knowingness.
From your perspective, and again, you've been doing this for a number of years, from your perspective, how important is what you provide, whether it's through the website, through the books, through your appearances, through personal counseling and so forth? How important is that in the grand scheme of things, shall we say, in terms of this wanting to, as I certainly would like to, raise our consciousness collectively, from your perspective?
It's important to me. Mm-hmm. And again, parallel universes, there's multiple realities. In the reality I'm in, that information is important to me. Now, I hope it provides help, assistance, guidance, support, validation, direction. So it's as important to other people as they make it mm-hmm. or they allow it to be. Okay, so I'll say it this way. Oh, my gosh, it's vitally important. If you don't listen to what I say, no. No, it's just it's the way I'm doing my life this lifetime. It's what I've chosen to do. I'm a blue, yellow who's added violet. Blues are teachers, counselors, nurses. They want to help people. They want to be supportive. We're very spiritual. We're very loving. We come from the heart chakra. So I'm doing blue work. Yellows are fun-loving, sense of humor, playful. They need variety. They're big kids at heart. They don't want to be pinned down to one thing. They need, you know, choices and variety and fun and freedom and outdoors and nature and creativity or helping people heal. So I do a lot of my yellow. I'd like to do more of my yellow, mm-hmm. more freedom, more fun. That's my goal, and I'm heading there. And then violets, I've added violet in my aura.
Mm.
Wasn't born a violet. Violets want to help the masses. They want to travel the world. They want to educate, improve the quality of life for people on a massive scale. And I've been doing a lot of violet work where you say I've traveled all over the world. I have. I just got back from Australia. So being able to affect the masses is great. That's why I did the media. I do the radio show, write books. That's very violet work.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that goes, okay, now that I, you know, when I do that, if I like the yellow.
Yeah.
It's like I'm more and more going, okay, now I just want to have fun and simplicity and easy and playful with it. So I'm affecting the masses, hopefully, in just being, teaching by example and having fun and showing how we can create easily and effortlessly. And honestly, Richard, if we're going to talk about where we're going in this life, I honestly believe at the core of my being on a soul awareness that that's where we're shifting into.
Mm.
We're not shifting into that struggle, hard work, suffering, you know, sacrifice, martyrdom, struggle. I honestly believe we're shifting out of that. More and more people want life to be easy. We intuitively know it's not supposed to be that hard.
Yeah.
And so my gift to myself and others, if they want to be around me, is to shift it into ease and grace and simplicity and allowing things to show up on that level.
Yeah. I've always found it fascinating, and I know you've talked with him many times, my conversations with Greg Braden. And we were actually chatting the other day, and what was so interesting to me was that we were both speaking from the same perspective of that we are not. And this kind of goes into a little different realm here. I don't know if you want to go here or not, but that we're not indigenous to this planet based upon some of the science that he has been uncovering, which I find fascinating. But I've kind of felt the same way because the only species on this planet that has to wear, that chooses to wear clothing and build shelter, you know, and has to grow the crops in order to eat and those types of things. I don't know of any other species on the planet that does that but us.
Well, if you want to talk about not indigenous to this planet, we're etheric beings. We're spiritual beings. We didn't have form. The real us doesn't have form. We created right. form to have this experience. So, yeah, we're not indigenous here. And people can say we come from another galaxy, another solar system, another whatever. Ultimately, we're consciousness. We don't have form. We're not limited to any realm, any planet, any era, any experience. And Greg Braden, that's part of the synchronicity. I was in the Cleveland airport visiting my dad, picking up my sister coming in from Europe for 5 minutes. And Greg Braden walked right in front of me and I went, Greg. And he turned around and went, wait, you've been on my radio show before. You're Greg Braden. He goes, oh, okay, what are you doing here? So there was synchronicity. I wasn't standing there more than 5 minutes. And I got to encounter Greg Braden. It was part of the synchronicity. But we're not indigenous to anything, one place. We're infinite, etheric, formless, conscious beings that are basically creating across time and space and eras and galaxies and whatever. So I feel like it's way bigger than that.
Do you think that that our consciousness, because I'm thinking of the technologies that we're developing, especially for AI, and I'm thinking, I don't really see the need for us to be able to transfer our consciousness to some other vehicle, you know, because it's like when I'm done with this life, whenever it is, whether it's today and I step out and I get hit by a bus, or in 40 or 50 years because I have to outlive my grandmother who lived to be 100.
Okay.
Okay. Because there's still a lot I'd love to do, but if it's my time, I'm good with that. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm thinking, okay, if we're here to experience all of these things, mm-hmm. then because there are conversations that go on about what we take with us when we leave the body,
mm-hmm.
when the consciousness leaves. It's kind of like getting out of your car, you know?
Well, we're creating the body, so we can create it to turn to light. We can create it. We can drop it if we want to.
Yeah.
To me, this is just me again, because I'm exploring consciousness and what we're capable of doing and who we really are,
mm-hmm.
not these limited little biological machines. And if some people want to put their consciousness into a mechanical device or an electronic device, so what? That's okay. That's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that. It's not where I want to go, but other people are going to have a blast doing that, because consciousness gets to experiment and create.
It's all about the experience.
Yeah. So who cares what we do? I think, this is me personally, I think this whole death and dying thing has gotten so old and so boring, and I don't think we need to do it that way anymore.
Yeah.
And I believe consciousness, it can shift to where if people want to, and science is saying this, if people want to stay in the body for 500 years, 1,000 years, or there are scientists that are saying there are people born and alive today that will be immortal, that will not die. They could live 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 5,000 years, or never die, especially with the technology or with the medical advances they're taking. And I can hear people out there going, well, that'd be boring. Well, you're not going to get old either. You can have any experience you want.
Yeah.
So, and then to me, I'd like to get to the point where then we're so conscious that we can just change forms if we want to. We don't have to do the old suffering and struggling and death and dying and deteriorating. To me, that's where consciousness is going, but I have no idea how long, quote unquote, how long it's going to take us to actually get there.
I know that for a lot of folks, it's like they want some definitive answers, you know, and that's where they're at. That without those answers,
some people want rules.
Yeah,
they
want
rules and guidelines, and these are the rules. And it's like, that's great. I'm one of those that doesn't like rules. Yeah. So I'm like, I'll follow them, but
yeah. Well,
I'll expand beyond them.
I've had the because of the fact that I believe what I believe about my life and what's next, that someone says, well, yeah, but I'm not there. You know, I'm really scared about what comes after death because I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, but I don't know either.
Okay? I talk to people on the other side, Richard, all the time.
Right, but what I have to share with this particular, some of these people, is I may not know, but this is what I believe way deep down inside. And maybe it is an inner knowing, okay, that I'm only calling a belief. And that is that, first of all, I believe that my life has meaning. And if my life has meaning, then my logical brain says, then this is not an accident, okay? And by the way, I used to say, too, that as far as I know, I didn't create myself. Well, maybe I did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I did. But I believe that my life has meaning. Ergo, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the moment of death to be lights out and that's it. It's like that's illogical to my brain to think that I'm here and my life has meaning and I'm here to serve and to do all of the things that I've been doing and then lights out. It's like, it makes no sense. So I believe there is something after.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had certain experiences, life between lives. I had a session with a local gentleman about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my last life, the way it came up. And it felt so good. Maybe that's part of the yellow in me.
Because
mm-hmm. yeah. I was a farmer.
And other souls have chosen to come to this experience to forget everything they know, to just believe this is it. And once you die, that's it. It's the end, lights out. They're having that experience for some reason.
Yeah.
Now, I talk to people on the other side all the time because it's just consciousness.
Consciousness
and energy can't be destroyed. That's physics. It just changes forms.
Right.
So I know that we're not limited to this one experience. And I also No, because in quantum physics and consciousness, there's no time. So all those quote-unquote past lives are all happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
So there's no past, present, future. They're all happening simultaneously. That's how big our soul is.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of people that I know and people I've interviewed on my show that have had near-death experiences. They all say the same thing. When they are out of their body and they're having this huge experience, expanded experience of being on the other side, they can see all their other lives happening still. They experience, they see them all going on simultaneously in different eras, different locations, different bodies, different male or female. So they've all reported that. Anita Morjani, Lisa Garr, just to name a couple. And I've had that experience. When I talk to people on the other side, they go, oh, guy, it's... They can create what they want over there, too.
Yeah.
You know, our consciousness, we're creators.
Yeah. The thing that occurs to me is that it's I hear the phrase that, we're running out of drinking water. And I'm going, no, we're not. There has been exactly the same amount of water on this planet from the day that it was flooded, if you will, as there is today. It's just that it just keeps changing forms. Well, it can be water. It can be liquid. It can be solid. It can be in a gas. Pam Mosley and Aura Colors. Pam Mosley has been my guest here on the program, and I want to thank you for taking so much time to come into studio. Well, not so hard because you live right here in Santa Barbara.
I do. I remember this studio.
and it's good to have you back in here to talk about these things as we enter 2019. It's going to be a fun year. I'm not going to say interesting. It's going to be a fun year.
Okay.
I really
I'll
feel good about
that.
I'll
align with that.
I say this every year. No fires this year. I said last year.
Don't focus on fires then. If you say don't think about a green apple,
right.
You're going to think
right.
You're going to create a green apple.
I forgot about that.
Don't say no fires. We're just like, it's green, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, healthy.
Green, beautiful, peaceful. I like it. I like it.
Fresh air.
Absolutely. Go to auracolors.com, Infinite You. I would highly suggest that you pick up a copy. You still have a couple of other pieces in the works. Can you share with us just little hints as to what they might be?
Oh, well, first of all, I wrote a movie. It came through me in 4 days, and it's all about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about this. So I've got that sitting there. If anyone wants to produce a movie, it's all these concepts,
mm-hmm.
but it's in story form. I have a book called Little Wave, and it's all about this little wave who has adventures out on the ocean because it's all part of the ocean. And
cool.
I wrote this years and years ago, and then Jim Carrey came up with something similar. It's like, okay, cool. It's in the consciousness. That's fine. But yeah, at some point, my niece is going to illustrate it for me because she's an awesome illustrator. So that's there. And if and when I get around to letting it come out, it'll come out. Right now, I just bought a new home. I'm creating the space in my new home. I'm enjoying it. I'm spending more time with friends and family. I'm walking on the beach. I'm traveling. I'm having a blast. So the book will come out when I get around to creating it to come out. It's already pretty much done.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, we look forward to that and maybe a movie. And again, I thank you so much for joining us here. Again, auracolors.com is the website. And before I let you go, those three final questions that I like to ask my guests, and you've probably answered them in some fashion throughout the interview, but I'm going to ask them anyway.
Okay.
First of all, who is Pam Mosley?
It's me. I am an ever-changing creator. I'm an ever-changing soul who loves to create.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
More self-conscious, more self-awareness, self-realization so that I can become expansive, joyful, love-filled example of what's possible so that if other people want to expand, they can do that too. Freedom, joy, love, and expansive consciousness.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Just what I said. It's all fit in with that. It's to become more aware, to become more awake, and really be a conscious creator on this planet. I don't mind. I think this planet's beautiful. I don't need to go someplace else. Where else am I going to go? It's heaven on earth right here. We're creating wherever we go. So it's to become a conscious creator and have everyone in my life playing at that same level, and even people that I don't know playing at that same level, so we're all happy and love-filled and joyful. And I believe that's possible. I just haven't completely attained that yet, but I trust it. I'm having experiences along the way that I'm enjoying, too.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Again, Pam Mosley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.
And yet, see, here's the deal. Okay, I'm going to show you an experiment here real quick. I think I've done this with you before. Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone right now, take your thumb and put it out in front of you about 12 inches and find something in the room that you can use your thumb to block it out, like a lamp or a door or something. Just find something in there and block it out. Now, just look at it with your right eye. And close your left eye. Mm-hmm. Just look at it with one eye. Now close your right eye and just look at it with your left eye. Mm-hmm. Now just your right eye. Now just your left eye. Okay, now do you see how everything just changed in perspective of where your thumb is? Your two eyes on your same body with your same brain couldn't even agree where that thing was in space. Mm-hmm. Okay? How do you ever expect anybody else on the planet with a separate body, completely different perspective, to see things the same way? Yeah. And we've chosen different experiences for a reason. We're playing. We're experimenting. We want to have different experiences.
Yeah.
So certain people will create the reality where the water runs out or the earth is destroyed or in parallel universes, which is science. Quantum physics is saying there are parallel universes. And they said there's actually a universe where Germany won World War II. We're all speaking German. There's a reality where the Bay of Pigs, the atomic bomb, it didn't end well, and this world was actually destroyed. Mm-hmm. That one exists. There is a world that you married somebody from high school and you're still married to them. There's a world, there's a universe, a reality, a realm where you never got married at all.
Mm.
And that your soul is actually experiencing that right now. And I know that sounds like science fiction to people. But a lot of things we used to think were science fiction or science facts now. Just cell phones and computers and space travel and flight. Mm. You know, all of that. That used to be science fiction. It's now science fact. Let me describe to people what I know about parallel universes. Because if you consciously know what these are, you can shift into a different one very easily and have a completely, really easy different experience. It could be subtle. Or it can be dramatic. You can shift if you're struggling with a health issue. You can actually shift into a realm, into a parallel universe, a different frequency, a different energy, where you don't have that illness. But we have to believe in them. Okay, so it's the same. I use the analogy of radio shows, right? Radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the room you're sitting in right now, or in the car, wherever you are listening to this, there are at least 10 radio stations broadcasting right now, and all those radio waves are around you right now, but you're not aware of them because you're not tuned into them. So if you go to your radio and turn it on, say, 101, right, you're going to hear the show, the talk, the music, whatever that's coming, that's broadcasting out of that frequency, 101, and that becomes part of your reality. Now let's say you change the frequency, you change the radio station over to 90, right? Now you're going to be set at that frequency. You're hearing the show, the music, the talk that's coming out of that station, and that becomes part of your reality. But 101 is still around you. The waves are right there all around you, but you're not aware of them because you're not set to the same frequency. You're not tuned into them. We know how to change TV stations, radio stations, websites, cell phone activity. We know how to do that, and they're just different frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
What we haven't learned how to do is our souls are that expansive, and it's living multidimensional experiences simultaneously right now, but you're only tuned into one because you think there's only one reality. When you start realizing that there's multiple and you shift, and the way you shift is your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, that your feelings, changing your feelings, your thoughts, your imagination, that changes your frequency. And that brings you into a different reality. And that might look subtle. You'll still see the same people in there most likely. You'll still see the same home, the same car, whatever. But if you start shifting it dramatically, and I've done this, that's the only reason I can speak about this. I've done it. I've proven that it's real. Dramatic things to show that it's real. But people just need to learn that this is real, and they can change their experiences, their lives, their money, their home, their health, their relationship status, all of that dramatically by believing that that's real.
Yeah.
But you have to let go of the old reality. You can't hold on to, you can't listen to 99 or 101 and shift over. You know, if you listen to both of them at the same time, you can't make sense of anything because right. It's like listening to two stations at the same time.
Exactly. And that's, to me, very interesting because I remember it took me about 5 years. This was when I was working for the Christian radio station. It took me about 5 years to shift out of the belief of heaven and hell and a literal devil.
Mm-hmm.
And what really helped me was that whole concept of personal responsibility. You either are or you aren't. You're not a little pregnant. You either are pregnant or you're not pregnant. That was always the example that was used, right? And I said, I'm either 100% responsible for my life or I'm not, which is where I came up with the analogy of a person who's walking in a meadow with their hands cupped, holding their personal will, saying, I want to do God's will. I want to do God's will. I want to do God's will. God is, and he tosses it in the air. And God is just moved to tears. Oh my gosh, one of my own creation. And again, this is on the old paradigm. One of my own creation wants to do my will. Oh my. And he catches that individual will and is compressing it into the size of a baseball. And he hurls it back at the individual walking in the meadow, hits him square in the forehead with a 90-mile-an-hour Nolan Ryan fastball, and says, then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you don't understand. Mm-hmm. So either you're going to do something with it or do it or don't. It's not me. I'm hands off. And again, I go back to that. And I don't know if I created myself. Maybe I did. And I think that's really where I'm coming from myself, mm-hmm. is taking that personal responsibility and saying, look, I created the accident. Okay. I created the fact that I was laid off from my job, but it allowed me to then create something else, and that is I got to move by the ocean, which is where I wanted to be all along.
Yeah, because your soul was over that. It's time for a new experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's interesting you say that, and because I connected with one of the old managers after we moved here, and I had to drive out to Thousand Oaks a couple of times. That thing lasted maybe 3 months, and then it was over, and I thought, okay, I finally finished the old business. But there's one thing I wanted to throw in here. It reminds me of something that James Redfield said in the Celestine Prophecy, that we have messages for one another. See, that's where I understand and agree with you from the standpoint that as I share, that's my experience, like what you say. This is just my experience. This is what I have experienced.
Based on your thoughts and beliefs.
But you do the radio program, you do the interviews because you're sharing your experiences with other people. Now, they can accept it or reject it. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're putting it out there. But I personally feel that it's so important for us to share because there may be someone who is in need of that little piece of information that you may have given that will help them to then move forward to help make that shift.
Mm-hmm.
Give them that confidence.
And it's still all connected with beliefs.
Yeah.
Because in order for you to share with other people out there, same with me, we have to believe that there are people out there that need it or want it. Now, if I believe everybody's fine, and they're all creating because they're souls and they're conscious souls and they wanted to create that, then it doesn't matter what I share. I'm doing it because I enjoy it, because it's fun, and we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I shift into a reality where people are conscious and they get it and everybody's happy, then there's nothing for me to share. So I look at where, and again, this gets really profound and really deep, and it sounds complicated, but it's actually very simple.
Yeah.
You like doing radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
You believe there are people out there that want to hear that. And there probably are, because you're in that reality where there are people that want to hear this. Same with me. We get to create any experience we want. And to me, and I was raised religious too, and I am very expansive with my spiritual beliefs now, incredibly, because without getting religious,
mm-hmm.
I learned that I believe that God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. That's what I was taught from the get-go. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Omnipresent means everywhere. God is everywhere. That means it's within me. It's in the creations. It's in this microphone. It's in everything. And, you know, there are certain people that don't have that experience. They don't want that experience. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Because whatever their soul is doing, whatever experiences we're each having, we're adding to the wholeness of all that is. We're adding to the wholeness or the experience of all that is, of consciousness, of God, of source, whatever word you want to put it. We're just experiencing and creating. So it's taken a weight off of me of thinking like, oh my gosh, I got to get out there and really help people expand it. What I've learned is if I expand, if I shift, if I change and open up and expand my beliefs of reality, it's going to affect everybody in my experience because that's the way the universe works.
That's why I talk about two old sayings that I found are not true. The first one is sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Well, now, based again, going back to the concept of based on beliefs, yes, words will hurt you. But the other one is you can't change other people. And that's not true. By virtue of what you just said, now, you're not doing it consciously. You're not trying to change other people. But the physics or quantum physics is that by changing yourself, you change other people.
In that reality, if people understand there's more than one reality, there's multi-universes.
Yeah.
So if I'm in universe one and I've got this issue going on, oh, life is, you know, terrible and everybody's mean and blah, 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 and it's dysfunctional, I'm going to experience that. And everybody in that experience is going to reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like that. If I go to universe number 10, where I am happy, I'm free, I'm trustworthy, I'm trusting everyone, I see the world as beautiful and whatever, everybody in that universe is going to be like that because I'm in that vibration.
Yeah.
I'm at that frequency where everybody else in that universe is at that same frequency. You don't have to change. If Tom Hanks is in the movie Big and he's acting out a certain role and then you go to Sleepless in Seattle, I didn't have to change him. I didn't have to change any of those people around him, none of those characters. Mm-hmm. They were all in that movie. Mm-hmm. I don't have to change him to get him to go over here. He's already over here playing in that movie and everybody else in that movie is acting out their roles in alignment with that movie. I'm hoping this is making sense. So I don't have to change anybody in my world, just me.
Right.
Just me. And I don't remember who has said is when you, it might have been Wayne Dyer, I don't remember, when you change the things you're looking at, the things you're looking at change. When you change the way you're looking at something, what you're looking at changes.
Do you remember that scientific experiment that was done? I remember hearing about this. These scientists were trying to, they wanted to duplicate the results. They wanted to do it multiple times to see if they could get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
But they never got the same results.
Right.
And they finally had to do some analysis to figure out why. And it was because of them.
Yeah, the observer affects. There's no way. And that's quantum physics again.
Yeah.
There is no way to measure an objective reality because the observer always affects the reality.
Yeah. Stop observing.
That's physics.
Stop observing and it won't change it.
Yeah, that's not California woo-woo stuff. That's actually physics. So anyway.
Yeah.
Big subjects.
They are. They are indeed. And I thank you so much for being on the program. Pam Mosley and Aura Colors. Pam Mosley has been my guest here on the program. And I want to thank you for taking so much time to come into studio. Well, not so hard because you live right here in Santa Barbara.
I do. I remember this studio.
and it's good to have you back in here to talk about these things as we enter 2019. It's going to be a fun year. I'm not going to say interesting. It's going to be a fun year.
Okay.
I really feel good about that.
I'll align with that.
I know, of course, I say this every year. No fires this year. I said
last year. Don't focus on fires then. If you say don't think about a green apple,
right.
You're going to think
right.
You're going to create
that.
A green
apple. I forgot about that.
Don't say no fires. We're just like, it's green, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, it's healthy.
Green, beautiful, peaceful. I like it. I like it.
Fresh air.
Absolutely. Go to auracolors.com, Infinite You. I would highly suggest that you pick up a copy. You still have a couple of other pieces in the works. Can you share with us just little hints as to what they might be?
Oh, well, first of all, I wrote a movie. It came through me in 4 days. And it's all about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about this. So I've got that sitting there. If anyone wants to produce a movie, it's all these concepts, but it's in story form. I have a book called Little Wave, and it's all about this little wave who has adventures out on the ocean because it's all part of the ocean. And
cool.
I wrote this years and years ago, and then Jim Carrey came up with something similar. It's like, okay, cool. It's in the consciousness. That's fine. But yeah, at some point, my niece is going to illustrate it for me because she's an awesome illustrator. So that's there. And if and when I get around to letting it come out, it'll come out right now. I just bought a new home. I'm creating the space in my new home. I'm enjoying it. I'm spending more time with friends and family. I'm walking on the beach. I'm traveling. I'm having a blast. So the book will come out when I get around to creating it to come out. It's already pretty much done.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, we look forward to that and maybe a movie. And again, I thank you so much for joining us here. Again, auracolors.com is the website. And before I let you go, those three final questions that I like to ask my guests, and you've probably answered them in some fashion throughout the interview, but I'm going to ask them anyway.
Okay.
First of all, who is Pam Mosley?
It's me. I am an ever-changing creator. I'm an ever-changing soul who loves to create.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
More self-conscious, more self-awareness, self-realization, so that I can become expansive, joyful, love-filled example of what's possible, so that if other people want to expand, they can do that too. Freedom, joy, love, and expansive consciousness.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Just what I said. It's all fit in with that. It's to become more aware, to become more awake, and really be a conscious creator on this planet. I don't mind. I think this planet's beautiful. I don't need to go someplace else. Where else am I going to go? It's heaven on earth right here. We're creating wherever we go. So it's to become a conscious creator and have everyone in my life playing at that same level, and even people that I don't know playing at that same level, so we're all happy and love-filled and joyful. And I believe that's possible. I just haven't completely attained that yet, but I trust it. I'm having experiences along the way that I'm enjoying too.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Again, Pam Mosley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time. Love to Lal.